pray with me one more time. Lord, open up our hearts, our minds, and our eyes and our ears to listen to your truth about the church, the body of Christ, and the suffering. In Christ's name, amen. New York Post, dated on November the 2nd this year, just 2 days ago, reported on terrorist slaughter of Christians in Egypt. It listed the recent attacks against Coptic Christians. By the way, for your information, Coptic Christians make up 10% of Egypt's 96 million people. That means that about 10 million people in Egypt are Christians. And they have been repeatedly targeted by ISIS in recent years. For example, in October this year, just last month, at least 7 Coptic Christians got killed and 14 wounded by gunmen as they were traveling on a bus. Last year in December, an ISIS gunman killed 9 people in an attack on a church. Last year in May, ISIS gunmen killed 28 Christians in a similar assault. Last year in April, ISIS killed more than 40 believers in twin church bombings. Year 2016, a suicide bomber killed almost 30 worshipers at a church in Cairo. Do the math. Just in 2 years, 5 attacks, over 114 Christians became martyrs in Egypt alone. And add all other martyrs in countries like India, Pakistan, Middle East countries, and North Korea and China and Indonesia and Nigeria, the list goes on. Now, someone says that the 20th century had seen more Christian martyrs than all other 2,000 years combined. Persecution against Christians is real. It happens every day all over the world. So this morning I'm dedicating my sermon to all the Christians who undergo persecutions because of their faith in Jesus as their Savior and Lord. May the Lord be with them. And this is what I mean by persecution. Any type of harassment and punishment, injury, grief, affliction and suffering, or even death, because of our faith in Jesus Christ. Those who persecute us will say all kinds of evil things against us, and they will bring false accusations and mistreatments, whether they're verbal, mental, emotional, spiritual, even physical abuse, all because of the name of Jesus. Persecution is nothing new to the Christian church and the believers, folks. Listen to what the first century believers went through. It is recorded in Hebrews chapter 11. That's why I said today's anthem fits well. They were tortured. They experienced mockings and scourgings. They were in chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn by Saul in two. And they were tempted and they were put to death with a sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and ill-treated, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. Reason with me, why do we get persecuted? Not because we have done something wrong or anything wrong, but because we confess that Jesus is our Lord and Savior. There are other reasons too. It seems to me persecution is one of the devil's schemes against the believers. Because when we receive the Word of God, Satan throws us into persecution, so that we may cave in and abandon our faith. Another reason is that the cross of Christ, whenever and wherever the cross is preached, The devil hates it, and therefore persecution arises. All because of the name of Jesus. One thing I can tell you up front is this persecution is unavoidable in the life of the church and in the life of the believer. Now listen to Jesus who says about one of the end time signs. He prophesied this 2,000 years ago. This is what he said. They will deliver you, Christians, to tribulation and will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. In Matthew 24, verse 9. It's interesting. We will be hated by all nations, not just few. Even in America, if you have not forgotten, there are 9 people who were killed in a church in Charleston. How long was it? We almost forgot it, right? Persecution is bound to happen to the born again and genuine believers in Christ. It will come to those who conduct a godly life in Christ. There are some benefits, may I say, that come from persecution, a kind of blessing in disguise. Persecution sanctifies us and purifies us and unites us and strengthens our faith and builds up our character, and it even helps us to witness to our faith in Christ. No wonder Jesus says in Matthew, "Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil things against you because of me." You remember? This is Sermon on the Mount, Beatitudes. However, why does the Lord, my question is, why does the Lord allow us to go through persecutions and suffer? Why would he not intervene and send out his heavenly angels to strike down all the enemies of the gospel, the persecutors? How would you answer it? To me, it's a divine mystery, hidden from our eyes and understanding. It's not that God does not want to protect us, nor he can't. For some reason, God does not make our lives, your life and mine as a believer, persecution-free. Instead, God promises to be with us and rescues us in our persecutions. Now listen to me. If you study the history of God's chosen people in the Bible, both New Testament and Old Testament, you'll find persecution and suffering a part of pilgrimage to our heavenly home. Consider the descendants of Abraham. They suffered as slaves for 400 years in Egypt before the Exodus. Consider the persecution of Christians during the time of Nero, the Roman emperor, who blamed Christians for his crime of arson in Rome. In the 20th century, millions of believers perished by the hands of communist regimes in the Soviet Union and Red China and even North Korea. Don't forget the ISIS beheading of numerous believers in the Middle East countries. Who can understand this? The question is, doesn't God love his children? Why then do suffering and persecution happen to Christians? How can we explain or understand it? Listen carefully, folks. The closest answer I got in the scriptures is this. Somehow God says, "Do you want heavenly glory? Then expect to go through the cross." Cross before crown, suffering before glory, and death before resurrection. It seems to me that they are packaged together in our faith. Believing so, the early church believers in the first century considered it, suffering and persecution, an honor to partake in Christ's sufferings. They didn't avoid it. They embraced it. Paul the Apostle would fill his body and life with Christ's sufferings. Consider it all joy, James says, when you undergo trials. Peter the Apostle exhorts saints to rejoice as they share once again the sufferings of Christ. You know, I often wondered about the necessity of martyrdom in Christianity. Why is it necessary for some Christians to lose their lives because of Jesus' name? I found a very critical answer in the book of Revelation. If you read Revelation chapter 6, you will see heaven and there's worship going on. The martyrs who lost their lives because of the name of Jesus, they cry out to God for vengeance. How long, Lord? When are you going to, you know, avenge our blood? To them, God says, wait a little longer until the number of the fellow martyrs would be completed. I'm using the right word, completed. Completed meaning that someone started somewhere and it ends somewhere, and you call it completed. One thing is for sure, martyrdom is a part of God's plan for the church. God waits until it reaches a certain number. So all I can say is this. Persecution is a part of our faith. Therefore, let us not be surprised when we run into persecution. In our covenant with God, somewhere in fine print, Jesus says, be prepared for persecution. If they persecuted you, me, and they will also persecute you. You read yourself, John 15:20, that's what it says. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. So how do we handle persecutions? What are the proper attitudes toward the persecutions? The first one is this, expect. Do not be alarmed when you go through some persecutions. Remember, even Jesus, our Lord, was persecuted multiple times for 3 years. His persecution culminated in the cross to complete the redemption work of humanity. And his death was also for the forgiveness of sins once and for all. When you and I want to be faithful to the Lord, persecution will come in our ways. Do not be afraid. Do not run away. The Lord is with us. He will see that we overcome. He is faithful. And also, he will not allow us to be tried beyond what we can bear. Second way to handle the persecution is to endure. Endure persecutions with courage and joy and with patience. Nothing, no persecution can separate you and me from the love of God. Hold fast God's promise of deliverance and he will rescue you and me from the persecutors. The third one is this, to bless and pray. When persecuted, bless and pray for the persecutors. Do not curse them. Number four, vengeance is the Lord's and he will repay. Remember that God will pay back to the persecutors. The way I see it personally, the way I understand persecution of the Christians is this. It's like messing with God's children. No earthly parent would tolerate such harassment against his or her own child. If you see someone bullying your own child, you step up and say, stop it. Neither will our Heavenly Father. He is not unjust, the scripture says, to forget his children who suffered persecutions. He will bring the persecutors to ultimate and eternal justice, and he will hold them accountable for their actions and repay them accordingly in his time. Remember, to avenge the blood of martyrs is in God's agenda. In the day of judgment, if you read Revelation chapter 6, it is number 5, the fifth seal that would be broken. The next way, just remember if you go through the persecution, your reward in heaven will be great. Special honor and glory await the martyrs and those people who are persecuted. The last one is this, show solidarity. When you and I see our Christian brothers and sisters suffer, show solidarity with them through your prayers and through support. And here's what God says in today's reading. Remember the prisoners. The scripture is not just talking about anyone in prison. No. Prisoners because of the name of Jesus. As though in prison with them and those who are ill-treated, once again, not everybody ill-treated, but those believers who are ill-treated. Because Christ says, you yourselves also are in the body, meaning the church. Now listen to this, what Jesus says in Matthew 25. In the last judgment, he's going to separate, you know, people, all the nations and races, and left and right. And to the people, this is what he says, whom he chosen. I was in prison, Jesus says, and you came to me and visited with me. And those folks asked Jesus, when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? The king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to the one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it for me and to me. Show solidarity. Now let me close my sermon with a story of a martyr who kept his faith to the end. Some of you heard of this name. His name is Polycarp. Around 160 AD, he was the bishop of the church in Smyrna, a city in Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey. That city was devoted to Roman worship. Romans worship, you know, goddesses, multiple goddesses and gods and so forth. And Polycarp was arrested by the Roman authorities, and he was taken into the public arena, like Colosseum stadium. And a voice came to him from heaven saying, be strong, Polycarp, and play the man. When the crowd heard that Polycarp had been captured, there was an uproar. The proconsul asked him whether he was indeed Polycarp. On hearing that he was, the proconsul tried to persuade Polycarp to deny the Lord, saying, have respect for your old age, swear by the fortune of Caesar, repent and say, down with the atheists. Just for your information, back in days, they called the Christians atheists because they worship multiple gods and Christians insist that we only worship one God, Jehovah. So Polycarp looked grimly at the wicked hidden multitude in the stadium and gesturing towards them, he said, down with the atheists. Swear, urge the proconsul, reproach Christ and I will set you free. 86 years have I served him, Polycarp declared, and he has done me no wrong. How can I blaspheme my king and my savior? And later, he was burned to death, but he kept his faith. And this is my hope and prayer for all of us folks, to be like Polycarp. When it comes down to witnessing to our faith in Christ in front of persecution. Let's bow as in prayer. We are so many in different ways discouraged in our society and time when it comes down to sharing such a good news we have. We are indeed blessed, Lord, to have faith in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. But when we try to share such a great news with neighbors and friends, we are suppressed, sometimes oppressed by the subtle and silent pressure from the society. Don't share. Don't talk about your religion. Religion is private. I wonder if when we stand before you at Heavenly Gate, if we see some of our friends so close to us, but would not get into heaven because of lack of faith in Jesus, how do we face them? That's actually my personal worry. I want to make sure that everyone I know hear about the gospel. So Lord, we are living through this very difficult times. Persecution against Christians in all types. We pray that, Lord, for your courage and strength and wisdom, and more than anything else, let us testify that I'm not ashamed of the gospel. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.